Okay, Shavuos is also Yom Tov, we all know that, and what's one of the days, one of the times of the year when we all recite Yizkar? Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we recite on Shavuos, what is the inyan of reciting Yizkar on Yom Tov? So first of all, you should be aware that this concept is a very mystical concept. It's really in Yoni Kabbalah. The idea of reciting Yizkar, praying for the dead, is not mentioned anywhere in the Gemara. There's no piece of Gemara, not the Baal of Yishalmi, that mentions that there's an inyan that a person should be mispala for the niftarim. Yet, we all do it. It's a davar pashut. What? They only once a year on Yom Kippur, right?
Yeah, Yom Kippur. What the Yom Kippur? Who's the add-on? It was only for the Shalosh Regalim. But then they decided to add on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur's the add-on, not the Shalosh Regalim for the first.
Okay. It's a little different in Hagen. There are definitely different in Hagen. When exactly we recite the Yizkar? Some in Chanami only do it on Yom Kippur. Some do it on all of the Shalosh Regalim like we do, and Yom Kippur. And then what about Shabbos? We for some reason do it Shabbos Mincha.
Right.
In the Siddur, the Kelmole is Shabbos Shachas in the morning. So why? What? In Arshkol Siddur. And all other stuff, when they go and they say, the same thing, it's a Kelmole.
It says Kelmole Rach.
It does.
It's really the same thing to say the Kelmole. So in the Arshkol Siddur, the place where you're going to find to say the Kelmole is not Shabbos Mincha, it's Shabbos Shachas. For some reason, we don't do it Shabbos Shachar. I guess they don't want to make the davening long and too long. It's really long enough, so we wait until the afternoon. And people, they do it. They mainly seeing being done on Shabbos. The question over here is why in general do we do it on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur? Now, Yom Kippur is very similar. Why are you doing Yom Kippur? Because Yom Kippur is a Yom Hadin, and Chazal tell us is that just like the living are judged on Yom Kippur, the dead are judged as well. All of the consequences, the ramifications of their actions, also are take into account what they left over in this world, and their children, their grandchildren, the influence they left in this world, and that can go down for many, many generations and go on forever, and therefore ever, for both for good and for bad. If they did it out there and they taught other people to go in their evil ways, so then they're going to be judged as the consequence of ramifications of how things have gone forth over time, and on Yom Kippur they also are going to be judged. Therefore, we remember them, and we mispal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should go easy on them and forgive them for any sins that they may have done. But why Shabbos and why Yom Tov? So one reason we do it on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Yom Tov is a time also of din, a time of the Paris Ilan and Pesach Nidna Tfuah. On Shavuos, it's needed our Paris. On Sukkot, we've judged on Geshem. So we remind Hashem of the tzaddikim, of the people who are no longer here, and we invoke their merits for our benefit. They're not being judged. See, there's a very fundamental difference between Yom Kippur and on the Shalosh Regalim. On the Shalosh Regalim, the Niftarim are not being judged. Their judgment is only once a year. They're only being judged on Yom Kippur. So therefore, Yom Kippur, we misfowl for them that Hashem should go easy on their judgment. But on the Shalosh Regalim, there are things in this world that are being judged. What is being judged in this world? Perois, Peros Ilan, Geshem, Tvua. We need to invoke their merit for our benefit. So that's why we do so. Now, what about Shabbos? Why is there meaning to say to be masculine the Shabbos on Shabbos? That's we do Shabbos Mincha. So this is very interesting. Is because there's a very big difference between a person who is being punished and our attempt to have them be removed from punishment versus a person who is not yet punished. For example, let's say Rachmanos and Havdol Elif Havdol. Say a person over here that's on trial, right? He's on trial. He's in the court, and the judge has to make a decision: should we take this man who right now is sitting in front of me in the courtroom? Should I put him in prison? Should I punish him? So if the judge, you have the best lawyers, and you have all of his friends, and come and appeal to the judge and say, no, you know, either he didn't do anything wrong, or if he did something, he has remorse, you can punish him other ways. Okay, so you can make a case. Once there has been a verdict, and the person has to be put in prison, be punished, all the king's horses and all the king's men can put Humpty Dumpty back together again. No one's going to be able to go and tell the judge, take him out of jail. Take him out.
It commutes a sentence.
It commutes a sentence, but it's infinitely harder. It's much, much easier to shas hakosher when the person is not yet in that matzav to prevent him from falling into that matzav than when the person already is in trouble and now we're trying to extract him, to remove him from his difficult situation. The Gemara gives an example of a donkey, and a donkey is about to collapse. Even one person can just, you know, hold up the donkey and put his hand in the right place, and one weakling can go and prevent the donkey from collapsing underneath his packages. But once the donkey falls down, even five strong Gibarim can't pick up the donkey. Once the donkey already is down on the ground, that's it. You need a crane to come pick up the donkey. It's too little, too late. One of the main reasons why we say Yiskar and we're masking the neshama is to lighten their Gehenim, their punishment. Now we assume Gehenim is only for 12 months. Okay, it's only for 12 months. No one ever came back to tell us what goes on in there. But it seems that there are degrees of punishment that go on. Whatever. I don't know how. We don't know how it works. Shabbos, we do know there is a suspension. On Shabbos, there is no Gehenim. Gehenim is shut. It's closed down. There's only a certain section that's open for certain types of people. But Ruba de Ruba, they don't work. They don't work. The guards and the workers in Gehenim are off for Shabbos. Everyone is free.
No Bishul on Shabbos.
Ain't Bishul on Shabbos. Okay, very good. So the Nela on Shabbos is the best time to say Yiskar. It's the best time to maskil the Neshamas to say Kil Mal Rachim, because what are you doing? Ribbono Shel Olam, this Neshama right now, he's free. He's out there, he's in Gan Eden. He's not suffering. Mitzvah Shabbos, maybe that's why we push it to Mincha. Mitzvah Shabbos, you're going to send him back? Come on. Come on, he's at the pool. Come on, he's at the pool. He's having a good time. He's enjoying himself. You're going to go. You're going to send him back. It's much, much easier for us to succeed in convincing Hashem in our merit, in this person, in the merit of the Nifter, that the Neshama should not return to Gehenna. Versus being mispalel for the Neshama at a time when he is in Gehenna, whatever that means. During the weekday, Monday, Thursday, whatever it is, or any time during, even on Yom Tov, Gehenim is possibly in operation. If it's in operation, then we're being misfal, we're trying to have him extracted, to take him out of Gehenim. That is much more difficult. It's much more difficult to succeed in removing a person from Gehenim than preventing. That's much more difficult. So therefore, Shabbos indeed is a very ideal time to be misfal for the neshama, that the neshama should not have to return to Gehenim. So, sach hakol review. We have over here Yom Kippur. There's a din on the Nifter. There's a din on the Nifter. We're mispalel that the Nifter should be freed, should be forgiven for his sins because he's being judged. Yom Tif, there is no din. And Yom Tif, primarily, we're being judged, or the world is being judged. We need to remind Hashem of the Niftarim to bring forth their merit for us, for the world, that there should be Broch in Geshem, in Perois, and in Tfuah. It's a different type of Yiskar. Shabbos, it's ideal in order that just in case Neshama is in Gehenim, during the weekday, he should not return to Gehenim. And the Shabbos, the ideal time, because the Neshama is at that moment in time is not already there. Okay, that's what's one topic. Next topic. We all have this expression called Zecher Tzadik Levracha. We've all heard this. You say about a tzaddik, there are all different ways to describe a tzaddik. Olav HaShalom. Chazal, they only really, you'll use one term. Olav HaShalom. Upon him may there be peace. Okay, Olav HaShalom, that's what the Medrash says about Avraham Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's not a, let's say we live in an inflated society where if you don't say about a person that he's a goyin and he's a zecher tzaddik for Kodesh Levracha, it basically means he's a nothing. Right about it. It's a terrible thing. Olav Hashem, the greatest bracha you can pass to a person to say upon him, the bracha upon him, may there be peace. The word Shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we must spell that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring upon a person, Hashem should be upon a person. Now, there is a pesikta. A pesikta is a collection of midrashim, and there is the only place where we use this expression, Zecher Litzadik Livracha. And there it talks about tzaddikim being mispalel for the neftarim. And I use the very interesting concept called a bow and arrow. And it says that when a tzaddik is mispalel for a person, a neshama, it's like shooting a bow and arrow, shooting the neshama out of Gehenim, to be propelled out of his matzav in Gehenim. Just like when you shoot a bow and an arrow, I guess the arrow is the neshama that you're being mispalel for. And the more kavana, the more precision, just like when you shoot a bow and arrow, the more kavana, the more precision, the more you pull back on the bow, the further the arrow goes, and the more precise you are in your aim is you'll be able to direct the arrow to a very precise location. This is the metaphor the Pesikta gives for describing the effect of a person being mispalul for the neshama with a bow and arrow, which basically means the more kavon and the more precision you have, the more you can do for that neshama. And then the Pesikta goes on to say, Zecher lit tzaddik livracha. Now, what does that mean exactly? So we're all familiar with the means that zecher, that a person who is a tzaddik, zecher lit tzaddik, will remember the neshama who is a tzaddik livracha for blessing. So therefore, because that's the way we the term that we use, many people are very machbid, or they used to be machbid, and not everyone is a tzaddik. Don't abuse the term zecher tzaddik livracha. Not every person is in the category of a tzaddik. The amich kulam tzaddikim, there's no question about it. You know, everyone is a tzaddik. But to go put on a matzeva, to go put in writing zecher tzaddik livracha, at least to be years ago, I don't know what it is today, you would reserve this expression for people that are head and shoulders above the average person, and it's accepted. The average person, you're right, olav hashalom, a person that's known to be a moisa nevish for the klal, a very big talmud chacham, so him maybe you'll say zecher tzaddik livracha. But what's fascinating, that's not the way it's used, that's the only makar for this expression, it's not the way it's used in the Pesikta, and the Orchas Chaim, so there an old sefer explains the way it's used there, it means the tzaddik is not the neshama. The tzaddik is the person being mispalel for the neshama. In other words, zecher, and there it's with the lam, zecher litzadik, when a person in this world, who is in this world, is a tzadik, is mazkir, remembers the neshama, then that neshama receives bracha. Meaning, if the person being mispalel is not a tzadik, the person that's being mispalel for the benefit of this neshama is just an ordinary person, and he's trying to affect a change for the neshama in the next world, nothing's going to happen. The only way the neshama is going to be transformed and going to receive benefit is only when a tzaddik in this world evokes his memory, then it will be levracha. That's not the way we translate these words colloquially. Colloquially, we translate it zecher kama, we remember, the tzaddik, the neshama that is a tzaddik for blessing. It's not what it says. It says, zecher lit tzaddik, when a tzaddik in this world is mispalel and remembers a neshama, then it will be levracha. If you do not have any merit, you do not have any zuchusim, and you just want to remember the niftarim, it's not going to have any effect. It's a very interesting idea of the way the Orchas Chaim explains this concept of zecher tzaddik levracha, not the way we express the real meaning of how it's supposed to be used. Okay, now there's another interesting concept is when you say yiskar, are you being mispalel or are you just remembering the nesham? Is there any benefit in just thinking about the person? The truth is, we use the term yiskar. Yiskar doesn't say you pray, doesn't say anything other than just a reminder. I remind myself about these neshamas. According to some of the Mefarshim, he cites in the Sefer called Mei Be'er, that is sufficient. And we learn from David HaMelech. David HaMelech had a son, Avshalom. Avshalom was a Rasha. He tried to kill his own father. He tried to drive his father out of being Melech and take over Malchus for himself. And he died in Misa Meshuna, where his hair got caught in a tree and he fell and he was basically strangulated. And then he was decapitated. He was decapitated by Yoav, and there Dov, when he found out that his son died, he cried, and he said the word Bini 8 times. And each time he said the word Bini, Chazal say that he took his son out of one Madura Shel Gehenim. There are 7 levels of Gehenim. Avshalom was in the lowest. Each time he said the word Bini, he was raised one level. And the 8th time he said the word Bini, he entered into Gan Eden. So Chazal wanted to say, you see, even this, David does not say anywhere in the Mizmar, doesn't say anywhere in the Mizmar, when the Mizmah in Tehillim, where it talks about this event, that David was, that David saved his son, that David was Mispala. David just said his son's name, Bini, Bini, Bini. He said Bini 8 times. So in this we learn, according to some, you don't have to be Mispalel for the Niftar. It is sufficient just to remember, to be Mazkir, the name of the Niftar. That's all that's necessary. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mimela will then look at that person, the reminder of that person, whatever that means. Hashem is always, Hashem doesn't feel anything, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have an extra emphasis of being reminded, and Hashem will remember the merits of that person, and that Mimela will propel the Neshama to a higher level, give the person great Menucha. It's not necessarily required for us to be Mispalel for the Niftar. Okay. Now that takes us to another question. What exactly are we doing when we are mispalel for the niftar? We go to a kever and you pray. What exactly are you doing? So it's very interesting. There are different opinions. Some hold that the koyach tefillah, when you mispalel for a niftar, you cannot possibly bring them to Olam Haba, to Gan Eden. The benefit, the reward a person receives in the next world is 100% based upon his own actions. It's Olam HaEmes. There's nothing that we can do here in this world. No tefillah in this world can make any bit of a difference to go and to bring that neshama that we know about to a place that's more than what he deserves. So what then is the purpose of tefillah? So according to many of the commentators, the tefillah for the neshama does one thing. It takes them out of Gehenna. Being mispalel for the neshama can lighten the... Some hold even, you can't even remove the neshama from Gehenna. If he needs to have being Gehenna, will be Gehenna. The best you can do with the koyach of tefillah is to yokel olav dinai, is to lighten the Gehenna. It's very fascinating, because it's olam ha'emes. Olam ha'emes, the person, the neshama has to get what he has to get. The koyach of tefillah for us, and this will for those neshamas, is we can maybe lighten, but not exempt him. Some hold, no, you can mamish exempt the neshama from Gehenna. But to give him the prayer, and because of your prayers, he's going to have an extra chelik in olam haba, impossible. And then there are all those mefarshim that say no, that even your koyach tefillah does have the power to even bring a person to Olam Haba, besides being lightening and being released, you can even through your koyach tefillah bring a person to Olam Haba. Now what about giving tzedakah or learning? So some say that's even more powerful, because there are different things you can do. You can be mispalel, and you can learn, and you can do ba'isim toivim. So maybe each one of these things has a different impact. We don't know how these things work, but there are different types, there are different powers. Tefillah, is it this haskara, just remembering? Then there's tefillah praying for the neshama. Question is, how far can tefillah go? Lightening the Gehenna, being released from Gehenna, going into the next world. Then there's giving tzedakah. What exactly, how far does that go? Pidyon, can there be such a thing that when you give tzedakah, you're redeeming the neshama? And then there is the issue of doing a learning. What effect does learning, le'ilu nishmas, how does that, we always say le'ilu, that is neshama should go higher. What effect? We don't know all these things. These are all different ideas, different concepts, and therefore you want to go and don't put all your eggs in one basket. You want to go do everything. You want to daven for them, and you want to learn from them, and you want to do ma'asim tovim. You want to do everything you can possibly do for these neshamas. And some say even that these things that you do, there's another question, is it a minhag to do these things, or is there an obligation? So some say it's the minhag, and some say, no, you have an obligation, hakaras hatov. You have to understand that these neshamas, especially parents, they gave us everything that we have. They brought us into this world. So it is a duty. It's not just a nice thing to do. You have a duty. It's an obligation. It's a choiv. Sometimes the choiv is very great because that sometimes we are living in their merits. They have done ma'isim tovim, and in the zechus of their ma'isim tovim, we have benefited in this world. We have an obligation. Well, let's be more practical. Let's say a person died and left over a yerusha. The only reason why you have parnasa, the only reason why you have a job, is because you took over, you succeeded in your father's position. Okay, many people are like that. The father had a position, and the father died, they took over. Only reason why you have parnasa is because of your father. Well, let's say the father left on you, left money. You could support yourself. So then it's not just a minig, then it is a duty, an obligation. You have to be mispalel for that neshama. You have to do ma'aseh for that neshama out of hakaras hatov for what that neshama did for you. Don't just, you know what? I'll stay home. I'm not going to go give tzedakah. Big deal. I won't give tzedakah this year. I'll give this year $18. Last year I gave $100. That's a chutzpah. You know what they did for you, and that's all you do for them. You have to have a moon that these things make a very big difference for these neshamas. And there's also an interesting minig to get maftir. We all know that the week before the yard site, there is a minig to get maftir. Why is it so important to get maftir? So he should have never knew this. So before is because when you get maftir, you make the bracha hatsur kol hoylamim. You make the bracha
sur kol hoylamim.
Tzadik b'chol hadaros. So the word sur kol hoylamim, tzadik b'chol hadaros, is in essence tzidduk hadin. When else do you have an opportunity to make a bracha tzidduk hadin, to say tzidduk with the bracha? That is why it is so critical that a person has an opportunity to say, to get maftir, especially the week before the yartzeit. Some have a hakpad, some try to get maftir during toch yud beis chodesh. Okay, that's almost impossible today. Me'ikar hadin, the one that's supposed to get maftir during toch yud beis chodesh, is an avil. A person who is an avil mitoch yud beis chodesh, he should really get every single week maftir. People who have their own shuls, who can flex their own muscles, do this. They take maftir. I know a person. He was an extremely wealthy person. Talking about to the extreme, and every time he came to shul, so they would just give him maftir because with that maftir came a nice big check, and the shul needed the money big time. So they were very happy to get.
Not really in Leah.
What? In Einochinami. That's exactly the point we're trying to make. It's not Aliyah. Maftir, you ask the question, what's the big deal? Why do you get Maftir? Get a real Aliyah? No. Because in Maftir, you get to say the bracha, Tzur kol oylamim tzadik b'chol hadarais. You're making a bracha, b'shem l'malchus, that captures the essence of tzidduk hadid. And that is something which is very beneficial for the neshama and for the person who is the relative to get that aliyah. So therefore, if you can do it the whole year, wonderful. You can't do it at least on the Shabbos before the yartzeit. It has become the minhag for a person to seek, to attempt to get that aliyah. Okay, next. What else I wanted to say? Tzidduk hadin. Now, one of the makaros that we do learn that tefillah is effective, there are many makaros. That tefillah was really, we started off by mentioning that this idea of saying Yizkor is not mentioned in the Gemara. But guess what? It's mentioned, it is mentioned incidentally in Chazal. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel for Reuven. Right? Yechi Reuven v'al Yomos. What is that all about? Rashi on the Chumash there says that Reuven, his bones were rattling. His bones were rattling in the coffin. Reuven sinned. He was Mabalbel, the bed of his father. After Rachel died, he took the meat of Yaakov, he put it in the tent. He put it in the tent of Leah. He was upset. Why was Yaakov's meat in the tent of Bila, the Shifcha of Rachel, not in the tent of his mother Leah? So he was Mabalbel, the mita of his father, and for that he was punished. He had no menuchas hanefesh in death. He was not allowed to enter into the yeshiva shalmaila. So Moshe was mispalo. Yechi Reuven v'al yamos. Like, but Reuven's already dead. It means he should live in the next world. He should be permitted to enter into the yeshiva shalmaila and to participate in the melchanta shel Torah. So what do you learn from that? You learn from the very powerful yesod is that it helps. That there is such a thing as being mispalo for the mason. You mispalel that the mace should have menucha. The mace, like we said, it should be removed from Gehenim, should go into a madrega that he did otherwise did not have. Where else do you find this idea? The Bnei Korach. Even Rishon, the Bnei Korach, what happened to them? They were swallowed up. Who was mispalel for them? So there are two Mamari Chazal, Moshe. Their Makaris and Moshe was mispalel Yeshua Menucha, and Chana. Moritz Sha'al V'Yoal. Chana was mispalel in her tefillah for the Bnei Korach that they should come out of their grave and they should ascend, meaning that they should come out of Gehenna and they should be allowed to enter into Gan Eden. So another makar we find that it is effective for the living to be mispalel for the dead. So the Levi comes out very interesting. We go to the Beis HaKoros. People, they go to the Beis HaKoros. What are they thinking when they come to a kever? So the truth is, it's mashma, is you really, you're not supposed to be mispalel for yourself. People go to the kever, they have a tzara. So they go to the kever, I need parnas, I need refuah, I need this, I need that. That's not really the right attitude. The right attitude is you go to the kever and you mispalel for the mace. You mispalel that Hashem should take this neshama and bring it higher and higher. Mimela, the neshama will reciprocate. You don't ask the neshama, I got a problem. Do me a favor, help me out. Neshama says to you, what do I owe you anything for? What do you want from me? You want me to help you? Go help yourself. Go be mispal. No, so in a chalam, that's a time. You just can't go and abuse the mesim. You have to be gracious. you have to go to the neshamas and be mispalel to Hashem that Hashem should have rachmanis on these neshamas. And that's it. And mimela is olam ha'emes. Okay, this is not dealing over here in this world where people are ungracious, where people are kafri taif. In this world, people are kafri taif. This world, you go and you do someone a favor, they spit at you, right? No good deed goes unpunished. Right? No good deed goes. I had this mice, and I was dealing with a company, and they made a major mistake. It's unbelievable. It's a major company. They made a major mistake. And I caught the major mistake, and I'm going to lose money from this. I'm going to lose money, and everyone. I'll be able to lose money, but I'm going to definitely lose money from this. So I felt guilty. I'm not a tzaddik. I figured I'll be caught anyway at the end, right? So I might as well go and confess, and I showed them, you're making a mistake, and I'm losing money, and mail the whole system stinks. Everyone, the money's being distributed in a way that's not fair. So I emailed them, and I always ended off my email, a lot of correspondence, every single email, no good deed goes unpunished. I kept on spitting that at them to make them feel guilty. Listen, I'm confessing, but don't, just because I admit, it's don't go and take away what I otherwise would have gotten. So at first they go, wow, you're right. You think about this. And they were all shaken up. We have to have a meeting. We have to figure out what to do. And then they told me, it's right. You're going to lose. It's it. Too bad for you. I said, just like I told you. Just like I told you, no good deed goes unpunished. So now they're still deliberating. Now they said, we're going to try to see maybe we can work it out for you also. But they didn't give me any answer yet. But like in this world, it's no good deed goes unpunished. In the next world, they have the MS. Good deed is rewarded. If you are mispalel for the mace, they'll be mispalel for you. That is a more proper attitude to take when you come to a Beis HaKvaris. It shouldn't just be about me, myself, and I. I have needs, and you, the mason, you owe me. You owe me. You have to go to Hashem and be mispalel for me. That's not the right attitude. You go to the Beis HaKvaris, you mispalel for the mason. The male of the mason will reciprocate, and they will be mispalel for you in Shemayim. Okay. Okay, so he mentions, let me just see what else we got over here. I think I pretty much covered most of what I want to say.
Well, the R.C. Israel says that where it all began was in the story of Hanukkah.
Hanukkah? By the
mason there, that they weren't sure, they were, when they were burying some of the dead, they found slumim around their waist, and they weren't sure if they had converted really or not. So the Chachamim when Masakin the Tefillah, Yizkor Hashem is Nishmasavi Latova. Remember him that he died; that he wasn't a Meshumet.
Okay,
that's how it began.
One other last point then is there a din of saying Yizkor for a guy? Let's say you had someone that was very good to you. People in the war, Holocaust, they were saved by goyim. They were saved, mamash, they were going with mois and nefesh. And now it's a shlus, yiskar. Should you say yiskar for goyim? Goyim who went and saved your life, did good things for you. A lot of people have this. You're saying yiskar for your parents, your grandparents, and all the kedoshim. I want to say yiskar for this person, this guy, mamash, a real guy, 100% guy, and he went and he was mois and nefesh to save my life. Should I say yiskar? Absolutely yes. Pasuk in Megillah. V'gam charvoyna zochor latoif. Gam charvoyna zochor latoif. So you see, b'ferush makar that a person can say yiskar for a non-Jew. What other things do we say? I'm not sure if any other things. Just not too organized. Now, by the way, I had another say. I didn't get a chance to bring. Just how I want to make. This is a ha'ara. The only tefillah, we live in a crazy world where there's separation of men and women. Even our tefillahs, we separate men and women. You say a mishaberach for a choyla. So you make a mishaberach for a man, avoseinu, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Chas v'shom, when you make a mishaberach for a choyla, you should say, mishaberach, avoseinu, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. I'm making a mishaberach for a man. I don't need to come onto the zechus of Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. When I make a mishaberach for a woman who's a choyla, mishaberach imoseinu. When you make a mishaberach for choylin, what you say shlomo, but you don't.
Even for a choyla, you don't say the women.
You don't?
No.
Okay.
Not supposed to say.
Okay, I'm thinking back. Well, I'm thinking about Birchas Habonim. When you bless your children, that's a more modern minute. You say you still care frame of Khanasha, and what do you do when it comes to girls? Sarif Garoch of Aleya. What's so bad thing about the boys, Hashem should make it like a friend of Menashe? It's very questionable. How did all these things come about? Well, you do find we live in a world of segregation, right? Segregation on the buses, segregation in the streets, the men on this street, the women on that street, and even in tefillah, when you're talking about men, don't mention women. The only place, if I'm not mistaken, that you mention a woman together with men is Yiskar. When you say Yiskar, Hashem should remember these neshamas together with the neshamas of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah.
But they have separate for men and
no, they don't. No. When you say Yiskar, you don't. You say separate for the men, the women, but when you mention the zechusim,
when you mention all of them.
When you mention who they should be together with, there is no segregation. It's very unique. It's unique that we do not.
We're not talking about the nusach of Yiskar.
Okay, the next thing is just to point out that there's a mistake which crept in the Siddur is that in the Siddur we say Yiskar and then they say a Kelmale. It's not necessary to say the Kelmale. The Kelmale is only said in public. The Kelmale were things that were said. Yiskar is said by the Yochid. The Kelmale is said by the Hashatz for on behalf of the Tzibur. For some very strange reason, in the all of the Sunnah of Yiskar, they say Yiskar, and then you say a Kelmale. There's no need to say the Kelmale. The Kelmale is a whole different tefillah. That's a tefillah that's said b'tzibur. The primary thing is to have kavod. Sometimes you don't have time. Sometimes you don't have time. Very, very quick. So you only have time. You want to say Yiskar for different people. You want to say Yiskar for parents, grandparents, b'chulu. Just focus on the Yiskar. Forget about the Kelmale. If there's not enough time, okay, you can say both. It doesn't hurt to say both. But the primary thing to say slowly with kavana, to be maskir and to be mispalel for the neshamos, is the nusach of Yiskar. The Kelmale was meant to be said by the tzibur, by the shatz, on behalf of the entire tzibur. Then when they finish, they take off for the kedoshim. So that's why it's a Kelmale and it's not a Yiskar. If you're saying it privately, you say Yiskar. If you're saying it with the tzibur, you say Yiskar. Okay. Those are basically some of the yisoidos of Yiskar. Have a wonderful day. Amir Tashem, we'll see you tomorrow.